my toes and we were swinging.
Swinging.
Yeah, just a swinging.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Thursday morning. We do appreciate it. 251-343-0106. If you would like to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning. Joining us now on the line, always a pleasure to bring on my next guest. Very kind for him to make time for us and our listening audience. He represents the 3rd Congressional District in Alabama, but also is the ranking member on the House Armed Services Committee, Congressman Mike Rogers. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. Hope you are.
Hey, thanks for making time. I want to get you on here. The Biden administration, a lot to dissect here. I guess there's a lot to gripe about when it comes to President Biden, but in particular, watching his China policy. Now, we've always had kind of questions about that relationship between Joe Biden and the communist Chinese, but now we're sitting here today. I got to tell you, it looks to me the threat is being downplayed by this administration. But from your perspective, where are we today compared to where we may have been, say, a year ago under Trump?
We're in a much more volatile circumstance than we were a year ago. And it's for, you know, several reasons. But one is, in fact, we have a more docile president now, who is very, very predictable, very pacifist. And then also, you know, we've had the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, which not only left a large number of Americans and friends in Afghanistan after it was supposedly completed by the administration, but it sent a signal to the world that this is an admission that A, is not competent, but also is going to shy away from problems like we're seeing around the world. So it took bad actors like Vladimir Putin and Russia, who has now amassed over 100,000 troops on the Ukraine border, with armaments ready to invade Ukraine because they know they have a president of the United States that won't do anything in response, just like his the last Democrat president didn't when Vladimir Putin took Crimea. So they see that happening. And then you got China, which is the big long-term adversary for our country, who is being very aggressive all around the world, but is particularly interested in taking Taiwan, seeing a weak president who won't do anything. So all these things have been exacerbated by the fact that we have a president in who historically has been associated with not responding to defense muscularity, but also who has demonstrated ineptitude when it comes to directing foreign policy and in particular the military.
Well, looking at it, though, I think we're closer to an armed conflict. Now, how close is that? I mean, but closer doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow or anytime in the near future than we've ever been before with the China. Well, maybe the exception of after World War II. But it's you see these signs that they are at least preparing for something or you know, making moves that would lead us to believe that they're taking an adversarial posture.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we just talked about the two most ominous threats, right? I did, talking about Russia and China. But we also have to remember, we have Iran, which is a long-term bad actor in the Middle East, who is really enjoying a lot of latitude right now because they aren't getting the focus they should be getting because we're having to pay attention to China and Russia. And when they are getting some attention, it's the administration trying to enter into another deal again on nonproliferation, which Iran has never adhered to, never going to. And you got actors like the leader in North Korea, who also sees a country that won't react in any kind of significant way to bad action. So it's real dangerous. You know, I have talked about this for a good long while. That, you know, I believe that China's plan is to take Taiwan right after the 2022 Olympics. They intend to use the Olympics as a chance to really shine up their image globally. And as soon as that's over with, they intend to burn some of that capital, taking Taiwan. And I think what's happening right now is they're taking the measure of Joe Biden to see what, if anything, he'll do about it. And I think we all know the answer to that. And I think the other reason, well, I know the other reason why I believe that they would do it immediately after the 22 Olympics is they don't want to risk the chance of Biden being not reelected and having such a golden opportunity to act when the United States is led by a weak leader. Because I'm convinced that this will be the singular term of this administration, and they won't be followed by another Democrat. So there's that pressure too on China to act while the opportunity presents itself for the least response from the world's only superpower.
It's interesting you say that. They're trying to shine their perception, and they're going to use the 2022 Olympics for that, but. Do they suffer a credibility problem with this pandemic? I would think are they operating on the assumption that the world will not that will be in the rearview mirror by then? Do you think?
Absolutely, they're not being held to any kind of standard now for consequences. The fact is, this president just had a long-term Zoom call with the president of China. Didn't even bring it up, much less say, you know, if you don't, and the rest of the world leaders aren't either, aren't saying to China, if you don't open up your country to investigation of this, then we're going to cut you off. Nobody's doing that. There's no leadership on this issue. And the fact is, the world has a right to know what, if any, role China played in the initial release of this pandemic on the globe. So they're not paying a price for it, and they won't pay a price for it as long as there's weak leadership in the world. And the rest of the world leaders take their cue from the world's only superpower, which is the United States. And right now it has weak leadership or a complete lack of leadership when it comes to that issue.
Well, and they're on domestic politics internally, though. Are they even, I guess they could pretty much call their own shots and do whatever they want to do, given how they run the Communist Chinese run that nation. But are they even hobbled, do you think, by the pandemic?
No. And in fact, it's ironic that you bring this up. I just was in an extensive briefing yesterday about Chinese access to our markets. What your listeners would be most disturbed to know is what we were briefed on yesterday. And this is open source stuff. We are financing China's military buildup. We're financing their Belt and Road Initiative, where they're making investments around the globe, economic as well as military. And it's all being financed by the United States of America's capital markets. It is astounding to see how much money we're lending them without any requirements that the companies that we're lending that are owned by the Chinese government adhere to any of the standards that we require on U.S. companies that access our markets. So the bad news is they got plenty of money and we're the ones providing it. It's your 401ks that are providing them the money, and most Americans have no idea.
Joined by Congressman Mike Rogers from Alabama's 3rd Congressional District, talking a little foreign policy, particularly as it is regarding in regards to China. Tell me, so election-wise, it's anticipated Republicans will get the House back, the Senate back. You still got to deal with the White House. But as far as tackling the China issue, how much can a Republican-led Congress make a difference should you guys win next year? Why is this important on this particular issue, do you think?
That is a great question and exactly what people need to understand. We will be driving the debate if we control the gavels. Right now, as I told somebody in an earlier conversation this morning, we are white noise. You have to remember, the mainstream news media nationwide, and I'm talking about national news media, not state and local. State and local is great. That we have no problem getting access to state and local media to tell our side of things. But when it comes to the national media platforms, they're on the other side. They're on the Democrat team. And they are not going to cover Republican opposition, much less are alerting people to issues that they need to be focused on. But now, if we control either chamber of the Congress, but especially if we control both chambers, we can call hearings and we can push policy through to the president's desk that forces the president to have to acknowledge and discuss the debate and enter it and react to it. So, yeah, it will make a huge difference when we control the Congress. And I'm optimistic more recently that we might actually get the Senate, too. I'm certain we're going to get the House. We can force the president to have to enter into the debate because we will control the debate because we control the development of policy in each chamber. And I think you will see him forced to have to make some hard decisions. We may not like the side he comes down on because I still believe it's the people that were around Obama that are around him and making decisions for him. I don't think he is actually making most of the decisions himself. But at least we can force him to have to take on the discussion and tell us where he is and what he will and won't do. And I personally think help get public opinion shaped so that it forces him to make some responsible decisions.
Congressman, do you get a sense from any of your colleagues on the other side of the aisle that, you know, that they are engaged in this? Is it just we're just going to take our cues from leadership and from the White House? But do you get the sense that even in private conversation behind closed doors, do you get the sense that they're concerned about possible aggression from the Communist Chinese?
Oh, absolutely. On the Armed Services Committee, we're a very bipartisan committee, and our committee gets it. Democrat members overwhelmingly get it. They know the threat is just as ominous. But now they're still subject to their leadership. I mean, they don't drive the train. They're riding on the train. Nancy Pelosi's the engineer. She's deciding what the train does and doesn't do, when it stops and when it doesn't, how fast it goes and how slow it goes. So they're kind of hamstrung there. But, you know, Jeff, I feel very strongly that China is the long-term big concern. But your listeners need to understand this threat from Russia on the Ukrainian border is imminent. It's serious and it's imminent. And while Ukraine is not a NATO ally, we are not obligated to enter into it. Every country around Ukraine is a NATO ally. And we are contractually bound by our treaty to defend them. So this is something that most people don't have it on their radar screens. It is imminent.
Well, and we'll get you out of here on the Ukraine discussion then. That was the subject of one of Donald Trump's two impeachments, that his administration wasn't doing enough to bolster Ukraine's defenses against a Russian adversary. I can't, you know, just based on the comments you hear from the White House and the press secretary, don't really get a sense of urgency, don't really get a sense of anything, are from the Democrats. But you say this is something that we really need to watch. What would be appropriate? What would be the appropriate policy for the United States regarding this hotspot?
I think the president of the world's only superpower should be saying publicly that the United States will not sit by while Russia or any other country invades a democratically elected government in Ukraine. You know, we have had American troops over there training Ukrainians, the Ukrainian military, for years now. I've been over there several times in recent years. I was there about 8 or 9 weeks ago. And we have a lot invested in trying to help that democracy grow and develop. And they're still suffering over there from Russia's aggressive taking of Crimea. And so, you know, we need to be prepared to let Russia know it will not be ignored, because Putin has said publicly that, you know, this has been after he took Crimea. And when he was being asked about it, he said that the reason he took it when he did was because he realized nobody was going to do anything about it. And I think that's what he sees right now, is a situation where he wants to have a puppet government that controls Ukraine, and he thinks nobody will do anything right now. I think that what he's just found with this administration agreeing on him having control of the only gas pipeline through there is that he not only has a passive U.S. government, he's got a compliant U.S. government helping him dominate Eastern Europe. And just understand, you know, again, I can't overstate this. Ukraine is not a NATO ally, but Russia sees Ukraine as the initial step. They want the Baltics. They are very interested in Poland and Romania, all those countries over on the Black Sea. And, you know, we those are NATO allies. So if we just ignore this, we could get sucked into a military situation very easily because Russia won't stop with Ukraine.
Congressman, you've been very kind this morning to make time for us. Hopefully we could talk again soon.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks. That was Congressman Mike Rogers of the 3rd Congressional District here on the program. We got to get a break in. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
One last look. Then he just walked away. He aimed his truck toward that Wyoming line. With a little luck, he could still get there in time. And in that Cheyenne wind, he could still hear her say, she said, don't bother coming home. By the time you get here, I'll be long gone. There's somebody new, and he sure